Well, greetings, folks. It's good to be with you once again in our Wednesday night Bible classes. And we just welcome you wherever you may be and at whatever time you may be. We do these classes on Wednesday. And so we're glad to be with you. This particular class has to do with and has for probably over 2 years now, I guess, the Feast of the Lord. And in our progress of moving from feast to feast and the sharings that we have been permitted by the Lord to do, we've come to the Feast of Tabernacles. And we've been on that feast now for several months because we have gathered into the Feast of Tabernacles, which is the feast of the seventh month. We've gathered into it all of its parts. The feast of the day of the blowing of trumpets. That's what took place on that day, the blowing of trumpets. And Israel gathered together unto the trumpets. And we talked about that. And when you bring that over into Christ, it is a tremendous reality because it's in type and shadow of hearing the voice of the Lord. And it's certainly not a natural voice that we're talking about. And then the Feast of Atonement. That one day a year that the high priest, having gone through all of the ministry that he does on that day, going behind the veil and coming out and appearing again. But one day he goes behind the veil. That's one day a year. And we stayed with that for a long time. And the reason we're even dealing with this is because it has all been fulfilled in Christ, and so has the Feast of Booths. Now, we've been talking about the Feast of Booths, but the last time we were together, I told you I was anxious to look at this same feast, and it is called the Feast of the Open Door. The Feast of the Open Door. And that really caught my attention, and there's much historical background to it. Some of that background we will take time to look at, but as we have in each of these lessons, I want to just bring it right into Christ, establish it there, and then we will go back and look at this feast. How it was enacted, what the priest did, and so forth, with regard to the reading of the book of the law. And this isn't talking about just a copy of the Ten Commandments, but it involves that which Moses wrote, and before he died, he was right at 120 years old, and the Lord instructed him to, commanded him, I guess, to write this to what amounted to a second generation of Israel, because the others had died by not entering into Canaan. At any rate, the book was written, and no doubt the Pentateuch was there, the first five books of Moses, and all that is there, and we may look at that, but it was this book that was written, and there was a time each year that that book had to be taken by the priests and read to Israel, and it happens to be during the Feast of the Tabernacles. And not only that, but it is also true that we read of this with Ezra and Nehemiah. And this was when Israel was brought back out of the Babylonian captivity. And it was after that the temple had been rebuilt and the city as well rebuilt after that 70-year captivity. And Ezra was instructed to stand and did so from daylight till dark. And I don't know how many days, but he stood and read the entirety of that book. And it was during and around the celebration of the Feast of Tabernacles. So it was this book. And we could call it, it's called many things, but it's the book of the Lord. And it is also this book that Jesus took and opened in the synagogue with the Jews. And I want us to start by reading there, because, hon, the open book, and I don't know, I may just talk with you a little bit about it, but the open book is nothing less than Christ Himself. Now, for some time, this is, I guess, since the last time we had this lesson, 2 weeks ago. But even before that, the Lord dealing with me, and I'm sure with many others as well, concerning our union with Christ, which is our salvation. Our union with Christ, which is our salvation, and how that the Scripture speaks of that, and they speak of that very clearly, but so many times the natural mind simply doesn't get a hold of it. And that this union that we have with Christ is the union of our salvation. It is a result of our being born of the Spirit of God, born of the very Spirit of Christ, Christ in you. And the reality that is worked in us by the Spirit of God at that time whereby we are baptized into Christ. No natural eye can see that. No natural eye has ever seen that. But it takes place in our soul. And though it does take place in our soul, new birth and baptism, there are many believers, and I'm certainly one of them, that at the time I received the Lord in that way, well, I was 6 years old, but I could have been 60 to make a difference. I really didn't understand what had happened. I knew the sermon that I heard. I came, I received the Lord. I was truly born from above. And I happened to have been in a Pentecostal church, and part of the experience I had was in speaking in tongues. I didn't really know what that was either. My point is that our union with Christ is a spiritual union, and it takes the understanding of the Spirit for us to truly, enter in. In our hearts and our, otherwise we don't really know what we're entering into. That's the reason so many folks come to the Lord And let's say they do, and they come to an altar, or they come to the front of the building, or whatever, and they in their heart receive the Lord, and there is a new birth, and yet they're never told anything really about it as far as it is Christ in you. Or that you have come into His very death, burial, and He, the resurrection, now lives in you. Those words are hardly ever heard, if ever heard. But they're told that your sins are forgiven, so people receive that, and that is true. But then you have the next day, and the next day, and the next day, and the next year, and the next 20 years, and the next 30 years, and surely salvation has to be something more than 30 years ago sins were forgiven. And yet in most cases we're not told that. In most cases the church has given you a dozen things to do and a dozen times to do it, and have given you Bible lessons to learn and to try to do the best to make them applicable to your life. And then that if you do that, and it goes on like that, honey. I'm not criticizing anything. I don't have to criticize it. Most people who have been in the church world know what I'm talking about. And some people, they settle into that, and their salvation becomes a religion in which they believe, and they become satisfied with that, and so there they are. And along with that, then we are told that all of the real deep things of the Spirit yet await us in the future. And that we can't come to all of that anyway, but in the future, well, there's the old song, we'll understand it better by and by. Not making light of anything, but that's what's really preached. All of this understanding will come to you one day. But honey, what we've been looking at in these testimonies given of God thousands of years ago were fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And everything that took place here in type and in symbol is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. We've been talking about these feasts of booths, how that we have found pointed to not earthly housing, not temporary housing, but that we are no longer finding our abode in the earth. But it's all pointing to the reality of being in Christ. And so we've been dealing with that reality of being in Christ. John 14 particularly. And declaring what Jesus said, I will come unto you. And He's talking about right after His death, burial, and resurrection. Not after 5,000 more years or even... No. In fact, He was talking about 50 more days. Right after His death, burial, and resurrection, because the whole event took place at Pentecost. And He said, I will come and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, you may be also. And in that day, you will understand that I am in My Father, and you are in Me, and I am in you. But you don't find that understanding in the religious world today. You don't find that. It says that that'll be one day, and so many, and some just don't bother with it at all. But hon, this is the thing. This is the salvation that Paul preached as having come now in Christ. You look at the epistles. If you are born again, if you have received Christ. And like I say, when I was a little child, I knew when the Spirit of Christ came in. And I was thrilled about it. But you see, sometimes that, I used to say it doesn't necessarily come with a feeling, but it produces one. even at that, the feeling pales and the feeling, you know, you're not always that excited. And in so many cases, the church world will tell you, well, you need to come and get another feeling. You need to come and go to the altar again. You need to do this. And, well, there's nothing wrong with getting another feeling or going to the altar. But my point is, feelings will pass away. Any kind of feelings, wherever they come from, whether they're just feelings that are somehow generated in my flesh of sadness or of happiness or of this or that, they go away, hon. If they're brought about by our enemy, by an attack some way or another, they still go away. And I have feelings this very day when I am really seeing the beauty of the Lord. I mean, I'll sit and say, thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, the exuberation, which is of my body, it's natural, will pass away. Maybe I'll be doing something else tomorrow. But that reality of Christ does not pass away. That reality of Christ not only remains in my heart, but it abounds in my heart. And what it does do, it will rule over any feelings that are trying to come to me from the outside, or from my flesh, or from my imagination, that would cause me to doubt the Lord, that would cause me to doubt that the Lord is in me. Well, that reality that is revealed of the Spirit, that reality that is given to us of God concerning His Son being in us, that reality abounds and does not pass away. Well, many things to be said about that. The thing I want to say most about it today is, honey, you and I, as Christians, you and I who have Christ in us, you and I who have accepted Him, not you and I who have all of the understanding of that. Maybe you and I who desire to understand that, realizing we can't do it with our natural mind. But it is an understanding given of God, and that's what I want to talk about in a second. And how that understanding comes, how it does come, how it will come, and how that understanding will not come and go, but will abound in your heart. Really, brother? Really? Really? Because it isn't an understanding that is based upon any kind of feeling, good, bad, indifferent. But it is based upon Christ opening the book. Actually, it's bound upon Christ, who is the open book. Christ, who is the understanding given of God. So, look with me at just a few verses, because I'm only going to begin this today. In Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. This is after the Lord's confrontation with Satan. I don't know. I don't want to make light of it, and I don't want to speculate. But sometimes when I sit by myself, I do make light of it, and maybe I even speculate. I'm not for sure how much Satan knew. But I've always thought he came to Adam, the creation of God, in the garden, and he brought disobedience into that scene. Perhaps he actually really thought he could do the same thing here. Because there it was a matter of him building pride, igniting pride in the heart of Adam. Pride. You can be like God. God knows. And that's the reason he said this and that. He knows you will be like him. Well, he picked the wrong one here. This is the last Adam, not the first one. This is the Son of God to bring Adam, not just to disruption, but to destruction, to do away with a whole Adamic man creation. And yet here he was. Well, I'm not going to stay on this. But Satan got nowhere here. He got nowhere here. There's more to it than that. But it was after this that the Lord came to Nazareth, actually, where he had been brought up. And this is in Luke 4, verse 16. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. Now here is the one who is the true creation of God. Here's the one who is the true tabernacle of the Lord. Here's the one who is the Sabbath day. I mean, all of it, and here he is. And there was delivered to him the book. And it was the book, it was out of the great book that they had. It was the book. The book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel." Think about this. He was standing there reading of himself, reading what he had given Isaiah to write. "He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened upon him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." And we'll not read any farther, because my point is, the open book walked into the temple, and they received him not. And this was true again and again and again. And I've said that for a reason, and we'll look at it in a moment. Because to them, The scripture was not open, the scripture was closed. Oh, they opened the book, they unrolled the scroll, but it was not open to their heart or their mind. And time again, Jesus used that very thing. He would either read or quote the scripture to them, and by that present himself. And they would not receive him, and that book was what? And here he just does it. He closes it, and he hands it back to them. He closes the book. The only one who can open the book is the open book. We'll read some more about this in just a second. The only one. Now, hon, this is important for you. This is important for you. This is important for anyone who may not have the understanding they want to have. And sometimes come to a frustration. I have been there in years gone by of just thinking they do not understand, never will understand. Sweetheart, don't do what I've done. I have thrown my Bible across the room, bounced it off the wall. And then had to go through a long time of repenting over that. But there is an understanding given of God. And the only thing it's hidden from is the natural mind, but it will not remain hidden from the heart that truly turns to know Him. There were some that came to Christ in that way. Most did not. Even many of those who did followed only but for a while. But Israel as a people, as a whole, did not receive him. It was their book. And you can go through the scriptures. Jesus rebuked them several times concerning what Moses had said, and concerning that if you really knew Moses, that is, if you really believed him and accepted what he said, you would believe me. And he told them, you've taken their very prophets and you have killed them. And they are they which speak of me. And he tells them in another place. And that's in John, not Luke, but in another first part of John, he tells them, you do search the scriptures. I know that you do. In them you think you have eternal life. And darling, and he says, but they are they that testify of me. And you won't come to me that you might have life. Hun, the scripture testifies of life. Christ is the life of which the scripture speaks. We don't get life out of the scripture. We get the testimony of life from the scripture. The life is in Christ himself. And yet, when we began, when the Spirit of the Lord begins to open the eyes of our understanding, where does he do that? He opens them in the scripture. Why? Because the scripture speaks of him. And all of a sudden the scripture does. Actually, we see it. I mean, it is a miracle given of God. Anything of the Spirit of God is a miracle. Anything the Spirit of God does, hon, is a miracle. New birth is a miracle. The revealing in our hearts of the very salvation that we have in Christ is a miracle. Because it isn't natural. It isn't natural. What we have received is not natural, and the understanding of it is not a natural understanding either. This scripture, believe it or not, honey, was not given by some man. It was given by the Spirit of God. Whether it was the old covenant given of the prophets, or whether it is in the new covenant written of the apostles, not out of a natural mind. And that's why sometimes we get confused. And that's why most schools of theology scarcely even look at this book as something written by the Holy Spirit. All that may be mentioned, but it's set aside because they look at it from a natural standpoint and they try to give it a natural understanding. So when they come across scriptures like Christ in you, you know, they will make that into something that we believe as a statement of faith, and we walk in that until one day Jesus will come again and gather his people. And here they go. No, it's talking about Christ in you right now. He's your salvation right now. And I just use that, but we can go through the whole Bible and look at that. And then we can, and yes, we look in the Old Testament, it is declaring the reality of Christ that is yet to come. But the New Testament is declaring the reality of that same Jesus that is not only come, it's come in him and he dwells in you. Right now, I'm talking about the Feast of the Open Book. And I'm telling you, blessed be the name of the Almighty God, the open book himself is come and he lives in you, and by his very Spirit the eyes of your understanding can be opened to him who is the open book, who is the living Word of God in you. And honey, when the Spirit of the Lord does that, and his whole mission is to do that, we look at the scripture in another understanding. I look at scripture, I have done so for years and years and years, and I'll look at those and I'll think, oh, my Lord, that's what that is about. Why? Because I've seen there a reality of Christ that I had not recognized before, and that reality of Christ fulfills and makes sense out of what that scripture is saying. All of a sudden, yes, that's what he's talking about. That's what Paul is talking about. What has happened? Well, the book has been opened. When is the book open? It's when we see the Lord. How? Visibly? No. But Paul's saying, I pray that the eyes of your understanding will be enlightened. How, Paul? I've tried to get understanding. I want understanding. I've read this. I've read that. Yes, yes, yes. But I pray that the spirit of wisdom and knowledge and the revelation of Christ will open the eyes of your understanding. Let me show you something, because I'm probably going to run out of... Let me show you something here in Luke 24. Now, we've just seen something about what he has declared himself to be, declared himself to be the one that he's reading about. And he couldn't go any deeper. He couldn't go any farther because, well, the hostility and the unbelief that is there wouldn't let him go. Some came to him and some followed him, but let me go on farther in the chapter. This is after his death. And I just want to hurry because I want to show you what I was just saying a while ago. Opening the eyes of our understanding. That's what the very Spirit of Christ, because Christ is now in us. Christ is in you. by His very eternal Spirit. He who is the Spirit of truth and wisdom and understanding and knowledge and Spirit of life. He is in you. Blessed be the Lamb of the living God. Right after His death, He's talking about this. He's resurrected. He's gone out of the sepulcher. They've been out there looking for Him and can't find Him. Look at verse 24. And certain of them which were with us, because He's talking to these two men walking along a dirt road, and they're all cast down. I mean cast down and miserable. And He has asked them, what's the problem? And they are explaining to Him what has happened. How that He had been crucified and buried and done away with. They're explaining this to Him. You can read the whole chapter. It's good. Anyway, certain of them which were with us went to the sepulcher and found it even so as the women had said, empty. But here is something that struck me because this... But Him... they saw not. And my Lord, hon, He is walking along a road with them, and they saw Him not either. But there is a greater seeing, even than that. He is pointing them in every way with His disciple over the next 40 days. He is pointing them to the greater way. He is pointing them to the time that they will see Him in them. That they will know that the one who walked with us and opened our understanding, that it was Him. You will know I'm in my Father, you're in me, and I am in you. This 40 days was all preparatory to the coming of Pentecost, when He was to come by His Spirit to where only 120 were gathered. That's how it started. And there He would dwell in them. And honey, what took place then has not stopped now. That eternal work of God, that coming of Christ to be in His body, that creation of His body, that filling His body with the Spirit of resurrection and life, Himself, that hadn't stopped yet. If Christ is in you, then you are that body, and you are in Him, in union with Him, as that one body, and He is in you. And the natural mind can hear that, can even rejoice in it if it at least believes it in that way, but oh my. The Spirit of God opens the eyes of our heart and soul so that that understanding doesn't simply become an event, not a feeling, but a reality that remains, and a reality that actually grows in our heart. In our heart. Well, He tells them, O fools, slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and enter into His glory? Ha! We've got people still saying He's, you know, got to do something about glory, or glory hadn't yet. My Lord. Honey, fulfill glory in the resurrection. And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scripture the things concerning himself. That was a pretty good talk he was having with them going down the road, you understand? And they drew nigh unto a village where they went in. And he made as though he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, "Abide with us, for it's toward evening, and the day is far spent." And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he set it meat with them, he took bread and he blessed it. And he brake it. And he gave it to them. But here's the thing. And their eyes were opened. And they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, "Did not our heart burn within us?" Did not our heart burn within us? But see, that's not an outward feeling. That is an inward reality. And we experience such things inwardly. While he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scripture. And they rose up the same hour, returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them, and they went on, and it goes on and on, of their talking to them. Here's my point. He opened their eyes. He opened their eyes. And let me see. No. Yes, yes, here it is. Luke 24, 44 through 53. Luke 24, 24, same chapter, but right on down in Luke, in verse 44. And he said to them, these are the word, what he's talking to. He shows up, he's talking to his disciples. And he said unto them, "These are the words which I spake to you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me." Hun, the church world today really hadn't received that message yet, because they're saying, well, he's talking about, you know, dying so to forgive your sins, and he has done that, but he's got to come back, as though he didn't get the job done in the first place. And yet even here he's declaring to them, because there he is in their midst, and they can't get a hold of that. They think they've seen a spook, and they don't know what's going on. And each time he turns to the scripture, and each time they don't understand the scripture, each time he has to open their eyes of understanding, and they identify the scripture with himself. Hun, that's what happens. Paul praying that you would enlighten the eyes of their understanding, that the spirit of wisdom and knowledge and the revelation of him. He opens. Christ in you shows himself in you, to you, to be the one of the scripture. He opens the book by showing himself to be that very reality in you. Then you go back and you look at those verses. I do. I just start rejoicing because this is the one that's in me. But he goes on there and says it. It's time for me to quit here. I'm ready to do it. In verse 44. He says, this is what I told you before I left you, but when I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled. And Paul says the same thing. And he uses the same terminology. All things must be fulfilled. All things are fulfilled. He uses the same thing. Which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms, the whole shebang concerning me. Then opened he their understanding. Honey, what I want you to know is that spiritual understanding is not something you have to do. And it's not something that you can do. It is an understanding that the Lord will work in you inwardly if you will just, I'm telling you the truth, ask Him to do it. No child of God can come truly in their heart to the Father and say, Father, I want to be more than a child in understanding. Father, open my understanding that I may know my salvation, that I may know the one who is truly in me. Because, darling, that is what spiritual growth is all about. It's not about getting what you don't have or more than you do have, but it's coming to see what you do have, but that what is a who. Who you do have, who is in you. He will give you understanding concerning the scripture. Why? Because those scriptures are fulfilled in Himself, and He will show you that these scripture speaks of me. But even Him standing there, quoting the scriptures to them, either on the road or there in the house later on, He opened. See? Opened their understanding that they might understand the scripture. We try to read the scripture with natural understanding. And only He, see, He is the open book. He opens Himself as the book and gives us understanding concerning the Scripture. That they speak of Him. Well, I want us to continue with this because those that have lessons and studies and workbooks on the feast, particularly of tabernacles, most of the time are saying hadn't come yet. And one of the things that they will say is when that day comes and the Feast of Tabernacles is fulfilled in the church, they will know as they have never known before. The book will be opened. Well, honey, the book lives in you. The one who wrote the book is the book. The one who wrote the word is the eternal word. Now, the written word can't get in me, but the eternal word lives there. And he will open our understanding. It will just add, Lord, just let me see you. Just give me understanding. We don't cry out to him in futility, but just, Father, give me this understanding. And you watch how he'll direct you and how he'll call your attention to things that you never noticed. He begins to do what you have asked him to do. And he will open the book in your heart from the inside. Yes. And in the understanding given, you will see the scripture in a way that you've never understood them before. So must we live without understanding? No, darling. In fact, we must not. But it isn't something that I earn or no. I didn't get born again that way, and I'm not going to get anything else that way either by something that I have achieved or whatever. But it's a gift of God. We have life. He is Christ. He is in you. And that life is light. L-I-G-H-T. And that is the light of life. It's the light of the understanding of life, of the wisdom of life, of the knowledge of life. It's Christ. And it's the Spirit of God opening our eyes to see Him, to know Him, and begin to walk in that understanding, in that light, even as He is in the light. All these verses come together. But I wanted to introduce that tonight. And I wanted to thank a sister who sent an email with regard to some of the things we look at on the open forum, and I answered that email just to let her know we got it, and she returned that answer to me. I was reading it just today. And I have to confess, well, actually I was going to be dealing with the open book, but I thought, Lord, this is a good time to do it. And I trust that our dear sister is with us. And by the way, Raven, who's back here, Raven's on the camera today. A lot of times he's running the camera. Many times he's on it. She did get the open forum last night or yesterday. And I trust, dear heart, that maybe you're with us again or that you'll find this, because much of what I'm talking about here, the religious of the day, the Jews being who they were, but not really coming to understand who He was and rejecting the very promise of God given to him. So, We'll come back to this and look at some more aspects of the open book. The open book. May the book, who is in you, open our understanding. In the scripture, which testifies of him. Blessed be the Lamb of God. Thank you very much. Look forward to seeing you again in our next Wednesday night. Well, Brother Bird has the next Wednesday night class, but in the next one concerning the Feast of the Lord, and we'll still be looking at the Feast of Tabernacles. As it is gathered up and fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. May the Lord richly bless you. Thank you for those that do communicate with us concerning many things. And just letting us know that you're there or that you appreciate the teaching or with a question. We do use those questions in many cases on the open forum. Because we know that if one believer has questions, it's likely that a whole bunch have the same question and just won't say anything about it or haven't the time or whatever. And most of the time we recognize that this question is in many who do love the Lord but are just frustrated. But we thank you for any way that you contact us. And then for those of you who help us continue this outreach, because we're never asked people to help us continue to just be here and maintain, but we do appreciate those who help us reach out beyond ourselves, because that's why we're here. That's what these facilities are about. That's what the equipment that we're continually replacing is about. That's what those that are here are about in their ministries, and that is reaching out beyond ourselves into the Lord's body, throughout that body and around the world. By this medium, there is that great potential to do that. So the Lord bless you. Thank you very much, and we look forward to seeing you again. Amen.